brought to you by Penguin.
How to Be a Brit by George Mikesh. Read by Richard Golding. How to Be an Alien, a Handbook for Beginners and Advanced Pupils. I have seen much to hate here, much to forgive, but in a world where England is finished and dead, I do not wish to live. Alice Dewar Miller, The Whitecliffs. Preface to the 24th Impression. The reception given to this book when it first appeared in the autumn of 1946 was at once a pleasant surprise and a disappointment for me. A surprise because the reception was so kind, a disappointment for the same reason. Let me explain. The first part of this statement needs little amplification. Even people who are not closely connected with the publishing trade will be able to realize that it is very nice, I'm sorry, I'd better be a little more English, a not totally unpleasant thing for a completely unknown author to run into three impressions within a few weeks of publication, and thereafter into another 21. What is my grievance, then? It is that this book has completely changed the picture I used to cherish of myself. This was to be a book of defiance. Before its publication, I felt myself a man who was going to tell the English where to get off. I had spoken my mind regardless of consequences. I thought I was brave and outspoken, and expected either to go unnoticed or to face a storm. But no storm came. I expected the English to be up in arms against me, but they patted me on the back. I expected the British nation to rise in wrath, but all they said was, "Quite amusing." It was indeed a bitter disappointment. While the Romanian radio was serialising, without my permission, How to Be an Alien as an anti-British tract, the Central Office of Information rang me up here in London and asked me to allow the book to be translated into Polish for the benefit of those many Polish refugees who were then settling in this country. "We want our friends to see us in this light," the man said on the telephone. This was hard to bear for my militant and defiant spirit. "But it's not such a favourable light," I protested feebly. "It's a very human light, and that is the most favourable," retorted the official. I was crushed. A few weeks later, my drooping spirit was revived when I heard of a suburban bank manager whose wife had brought this book home to him, remarking that she had found it fairly amusing. The gentleman in question sat down in front of his open fire, put his feet up, and read the book right through with a continually darkening face. When he had finished, he stood up and said, "Downright impertinence," and threw the book into the fire. He was a noble and patriotic spirit, and he did me a great deal of good. I wished there had been more like him in England, but I could never find another. Since then, I have actually written about a dozen books, but I might as well have never written anything else. I remained the author of How to Be an Alien, even after I had published a collection of serious essays. Even Mr. Somerset Maugham complained about this type of treatment bitterly and repeatedly. Whatever he did, he was told that he would never write another Of Human Bondage. Arnold Bennett, in spite of 50 other works, remained the author of The Old Wives' Tale, and nothing else. And Mr. Robert Graves is just the author of the Claudius books. These authors are much more eminent than I am, but their problem is the same. At the moment, I am engaged in writing a 750-page picaresque novel set in ancient Sumeria. It is taking shape nicely, and I'm going to get the Nobel Prize for it, but it will be of no use. I shall still remain the author of How to Be an Alien. I'm not complaining. One's books start living their independent lives soon enough, just like one's children. I love this book. It has done almost as much for me as I have done for it. Yet, however loving a parent you may be, it hurts your pride a little if you are only known, acknowledged, and accepted as the father of your eldest child. In 1946, I took this manuscript to André Deutsch, a young man who had just decided to try his luck as a publisher. He used to go, once upon a time, to the same school as my younger brother. I knew him from the old days, and it was quite obvious to me even then, in Budapest, when he was only 12 and wore shorts, that he would make an excellent publisher in London if he only had the chance. So I offered my book to him, and as, at the time, he could not get manuscripts from better-known authors, he accepted it with a sigh. He suggested that Nicholas Be-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?